Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey, everybody, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I am right here with my buddy, Todd Hopkins. How you doing today, Todd?
Good, Carrie. Good to see you, man.
I love the book cover. Top right-hand corner. I'll tell you what, man, if there was ever a time for people to be less stressed, it would be right now. So let's talk about all the good things that are going to happen today in this chat. Give us some background. Tell us what business you're in. Tell us what people are going to learn from today.
Yeah, well, I'm in the commercial cleaning business. So my business is to help people start businesses, right? And so we're a franchisor. Office Pride is our brand. We help people launch Office Pride commercial cleaning businesses all around the country. We have 135 locations. God's really blessed us. We have a lot of wonderful people. And so people come to us and they're looking to pursue their dream of owning their own business. And a lot of times they've been doing corporate America or maybe they've been in some other type of business. But so that's what we do. So I've been doing this, Carrie, for almost 29 years. It's hard to believe. And I've seen a lot of people in a lot of different businesses, including myself, try to carry more stress than we really should, right? I mean, I'm the most guilty. In fact, I kind of wrote this book for myself. I was looking for answers, and that's how it all happened. I thought, you know, if I could figure out how to stress less, and I was just searching, you know, asking God and seeing what worked. And then I thought, if I could share this with our franchisees in the Office Pride system, and that helped them, they'll be happier. Because our BHAG, you know, the big, hairy, audacious goal is for our franchisees to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. So I thought that'll help them be happy. And then this whole book got done, all of a sudden there were other people who were interested. And the next thing you know, we're here. And it's available for anybody who wants to read it.
I love it. That's fantastic. Well, let's talk about that. Can business owners be less stressed and still care about their clients and about the bottom line? Because I'll tell you what, Todd, that's a tough thing. Some people just say, well, I'm not going to care, but I know you do care. The first time I met you, I saw a big smile on your face. We were at Strategic Coach together, and I could just tell there was something special about you, and you shared about your business, and you have such an awesome model. But can you really care for people and not let the stress eat you up?
I think the key is the less we stress, the more we're able to care for others.
Ooh,
right? Because when we're stressed, it's because we're so focused on ourselves and we're not happy about what's happening to ourselves or what's going on in our life and or the decisions we got to make. And so we start to stress. And when we're so stressed out, we're almost getting consumed with self that we're less able to care for anybody else. So I really believe that if we can eliminate or drastically reduce stress in our own life, we're going to be able to make better decisions. We're going to be able to certainly be able to focus when we're talking to customers and employees and folks like that who need our attention. They want us to be present. So I think eliminating stress is the key to increase caring for others, that those things aren't in conflict. You know, they're only in conflict when stress exists. You get rid of stress. I'd say deciding not to care, that doesn't help.
That doesn't help.
It's get rid of stress and you care more.
Well, you've been very bold about blending your passion for God with your passion for excellence and people. And I'm going to set up this question here. I'm just muting you just for reverb on my end, and then I'll unmute you when I shut up. But one of the things, Todd, is that Jesus was someone who wasn't stressed, and yet everything's fallen apart around him. You know, like when he's in the water that one time and the storm comes up and Jesus is actually sleeping. Does your book talk about some of that overlap, about how you can be just on your game like Jesus, but be resting even though the world might be falling apart around you?
Well, it does in different ways. I mean, for sure, that's taking it to the highest level when you can be in the middle of a storm on a boat and be able to sleep. But there's a whole chapter in this book on how to get a good night's sleep. And the Bible definitely has a lot to say about that. In fact, Proverbs 3:21-24 gives us the formula for a good night's sleep. And Carrie,
I want to hear it.
Okay. Well, so what happened is I woke up one night, like a lot of business owners, 4 a.m. I'm thinking about stuff. I'm starting to worry about business things or decisions, or, and I'm thinking, you know, God doesn't want this. There's nothing I can do at 4 o'clock in the morning. Right. And so that particular time I decided I've had enough. I'm in the middle of writing The Stressless Business Owner. And I thought, this is one. So every chapter is a result of me being stressed and trying to figure out a solution. So I thought, okay, this is one of them. And I just started praying, asking God for an answer. I turned to Proverbs. So it must have been the third day of the month, because sometimes my shortcut quiet time is I pick the day of the month and I read that Proverbs, right? Oh, yeah. So like Proverbs 3. So I'm reading Proverbs, and in verse 21 through 24, I run across them this very morning, and it said, it says that we're supposed to seek wisdom, understanding, sound judgment, and discretion, right? And like an ornament around our neck. And if we do, then we can walk and our foot will not stumble. We can walk in safety. We can lay down without fear. And I'm paraphrasing from memory here. And we can, our sleep will be sweet. And I'm sitting there, I go, what? I've been praying for God to help me sleep. And right here in front of me is a formula for a good night's sleep. So all I got to do is get wisdom, understanding, sound judgment, and discretion. And then he said, be an ornament, like a Roman soldier would wear a gold chain and you'd be attracted to that chain, or a lady might wear a beautiful necklace and you're attracted to that. So an ornament around our neck is what attracts others to us. So if we have wisdom, understanding, sound judgment, and discretion in our life, others are attracted to that. And if we're giving God the credit, then that's how God is able to draw people to himself through us. So I thought, I just need wisdom, understanding, sound judgment, and discretion. So the next 2 hours I spend trying to figure out what's God's definition of those four things. And so those definitions are in the book so that we really know how to pursue them. And so now, so what happened, Carrie, I started practicing. So I'd wake up 3 o'clock one morning thinking about something. And I'd say, God, I'm just praying for understanding. And what do you want me to, you know, I don't know what you want me to do, but I just pray that. And my definition, the definition for understanding I found in God's word. And again, I'm shooting from memory, so I can't remember if it's Proverbs 9:10 or 10:9. But it said, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In other words, if we want to be able to understand, if we want to be able to know how God's working, that's understanding. So I started praying, God, help me to understand how you're working. And so that worked for a little while. And then I realized there's some things I still didn't understand. And so I started diving into it more. And for me, the definition of understanding that we're supposed to pursue is the ability to be able to see how God's working, not just that, but the ability to see how or trust that he is working. Mm. So now in the middle of the night, I wake up, I got a business issue, and I'm going, God, I'm just going to trust that you're working in this. And I'm just going to turn it back over to you. And I fall back to sleep. So it works for me. So here's the thing. There's 10 disciplines in this book. I was not good at any of them. I had to fix 10 things. But the readers may only have, they may have 7 of these they're good at and 3 that need work, right?
Totally.
So if you just find that one thing that can help you eliminate stress in your life, it's worth it.
This is so good. Let's talk about Mary and Martha, just because I know you're a man of the word. She was stressed, man. She was stressed with all kinds of preparation. And what did, for people who don't know the story, what did what was the outcome?
Well, Mary and Martha, of course, Jesus is visiting, and Martha is running around trying to get some food ready and who knows what, right? Last minute preparations, and Mary's just enjoying the presence of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think how many of us spend our whole life scrambling, trying to get ready for something that we can already have? I mean, it's and so Jesus was there, and he.
That's good.
Martha even.
Hold on, Todd. We got to quote that.
Oh, so, I don't even know what I said.
I'll tell you what you said. You said some people are scrambling their entire life to get ready for something that they already have.
Yeah.
That was huge. Somebody write that down. I'm gonna take that one. What do you mean by that?
That's not in the book. I can tell you, but the but you asked me about Mary and Martha, so I'm kind of like a Martha type. I think I'm kind of running around. I'm anticipating what's going to happen. Try to make sure something good happens to something bad. I'm not necessarily the one preparing things behind the scenes, but I'm definitely not good at being present. I've had to practice that, Carrie, and we have a mentor that teaches us that all the time. You and I do. And I always have to work on being present and enjoying the moment. And Martha was missing out and Mary was doing what was most important. And so a lot of times our stress is self-inflicted. We make decisions to just stress ourselves. And I had a friend of mine the other day tell me, you may have heard this quote. I don't know where it originated, but like worry is a down payment on a problem we may not have. We may never have.
Worry is a down payment on a problem we may never have.
Mm-hmm. So I believe, at least in my situation, stress is self-inflicted. And I see people doing it to themselves all the time. And what I try to do is identify, here's 10 disciplines. If you will do these things, this is going to drastically eliminate stress in your life. I mean, or drastically reduce it. You know, there's always stress that pops up, but I think we can get quicker at getting rid of it, right? I don't think it's possible to be stress-free, but we definitely can stress less.
Stress less. Ooh, that's good. Let's talk about this near-death wake-up call in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Ooh, what? Tell us about this.
Well, I took out the phrase near death because I don't want to make light of that. But what did happen to me is that my blood pressure was off the charts. And it's 2012. I had a tremendous amount of stress in my life. And then I remember one night I woke up, my left arm was hurting. And I'm like, is this, you know, I hear these stories, right? And so I decided I'm just going to try to breathe easy and take it easy. I went to the doctor the next day, my family doctor. He put an EKG on me. It was going nuts. He said, Todd, you're either in the middle of a heart attack right now or you're about to have one. I'm sending you to the emergency room. My blood pressure was, I don't even want to talk about what it was. So got to the emergency room. My wife met me there. And I'm on meet that there, you know, put me on a stretcher. Everybody's around, all that whole scene. And I remember just thinking, surely this isn't how it ends for me. I mean, I've got a good business, a wonderful wife, great kids. I love the Lord with all my heart, right? I mean, surely this isn't how this story ends. And so it all worked out. And what I learned a lesson at that point, it was all stress related. And so at that point, I decided I got to do something about stress. But here's a business owner for you, Kerry. That was 2012. And it wasn't until 2016, January 2016, my pastor, Pastor Q, he's sharing a message and saying, I want to encourage everybody here to choose a word that will define you for the year. He does this every year, I think. And I'm thinking, man, I got so much stress in my life. I'm choosing stressless. Now, I didn't know that really wasn't a word, but I chose stressless. And I thought, that's going to be my word for 2016. It's going to define who I am. And then I started asking God to help me stress less. And that was January 2016. And over the course of those next 4 months is when 90% of this book was written. And you know, which takes us now to today. So I love sharing about it because I just started practicing it myself. I mean, I really believe this came, you know, this is something God inspired, gave me some answers, and I like to share them. And when I'm starting stress, I look at it again. I look at the 10 disciplines. I think one of these can probably fix this.
Wow. Listen, I love this. Here's discipline number one. And it's replace bad emotions with good emotions. What do you mean by that?
Well, I share a story about being at an airport and the flight's delayed and all this. And, you know, I'm hoping to get home and you know how that can be. And I was trying not to stress. Now, I was in the middle of writing this book and I'm thinking, Todd, you're writing a stress-less book and you're starting to stress about making it home. It's kind of hypocritical. So I started telling myself to not stress. Now, the more I told myself to not stress, it seemed like the more I stressed.
Yes.
It's like if you tell yourself, don't worry, you start to worry, right? Don't touch the wet paint. You just got to touch it. So I kept trying to fight that. And I thought, this is a problem, and this could be a good chapter in the book. Mm. And so all of a sudden, I felt like my emotions started screaming out at me and said, Todd, if you don't want us to stress, how do you want us to feel? And it's like my emotions were asking for a replacement feeling. So at that moment, I said, well, okay, I don't want to stress. What I want to feel is patience. I want to be kind. I want to be the most loving, kind, and patient person in this airport. And so all of a sudden now, instead of thinking about stress, I'm thinking about love, patience, and kindness. And now I'm walking around the airport. Everybody else is stressed. And I'm starting to walk lighter, starting to think better. I texted one of my team members and said, hey, can you figure out how to get me home? And she did. I mean, I was home an hour later than originally planned. I made it. So, and I wrote that whole chapter on the flights home. 3,200 words. Wow. So it all worked out perfectly. And so I think to replace bad emotions with good emotions. And a lot of people want to know, how do I get rid of stress? All right. If you don't want to stress, how do you want to feel? And then start telling yourself to focus on that.
That's cool. Well, let's talk about a couple other things here. What can we do to keep the stress triggers from overwhelming us? I know you gave us that one really good tip, which is, what emotion do I want to feel instead? Yeah. What are some other ones just as you go through your daily? First of all, tell people how big Office Pride is, because that's going to make me feel stressed. I mean, once you realize, oh my gosh, Todd's carrying all this, talk about the size.
Well, we have a corporate team up here of 23 people, and we work together to serve 135 franchise locations across the country. And of course, this year with COVID, you had businesses that some were closing down, yet others that needed more cleaning. Everybody needs more disinfecting right now. So it's actually a really good time to be in the commercial cleaning business.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's turned out that people just need a whole lot more of what we have. And we're leaders in the industry. So it's business is actually going very well. The franchisees are happier, I believe, than they've ever been, because COVID has brought us together. We've communicated more than ever. even they're serving their customers, and they say their customer relationships are better than ever because they've had to go through this together. So you've had stressful events happen, but yet the outcome has actually, you know, end up being not as stressful because it's just good relationships and transparency and communication. We have probably 5,000 buildings that are getting cleaned every single night, Kerry, somewhere in the United States. And those things happen, and franchisees execute this. And so as you can imagine, there's a lot of moving parts. But in my world, the team, and they keep my stress level down.
Well, let's go into some other points with the book. Yeah. Discipline to work ahead and not procrastinate. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, if we procrastinate, and a lot of people do this, I used to do this. If you procrastinate, then what ultimately happens is, and people who procrastinate usually use the excuse that I do my best work at the last minute, right? Mm. And I used to say that, and once you get used to working ahead, you realize how good your work could have been all along. And
that's good.
So I used to procrastinate, and then I would just bust my butt in the last, day or two, preparing a speech or studying for a test, whatever it was. And so when we procrastinate, the deadline is in charge, and that gets very, very stressful knowing that. But when we work ahead, we're in charge, and quality is going to be higher. Everybody's going to be happier. We're going to be, and it's just a lot less stressful. So that was one of the things I would ask myself, what causes stress? And one of them is I wait to the last minute to work on something. That's now I'm trying to get it done. The deadline is stressing me. So I've eliminated deadline stress with this discipline.
That's so true. The other day I had an early appointment, but I still wanted to take my kids to school, which I do every day because I know it helps the kids, my wife, Kelly, but the margin was too tight. And I found myself, you know, getting stressed, like snapping at the kids, trying to get, you know, because of this deadline. Don't you think that that's a lie that we think we can do it all? In other words, we just think we can do it all and keep smashing more and more and more, but the natural outcome of that is going to be stress. What do you think?
Well, it's easy to take things out on the kids, and that's not setting a good example for them and their future.
No,
for sure. So we definitely try to do too much, try to do it all. And I think we just need to look and say, okay, what's the most important thing? Sometimes we got to say no to some things, right? I mean, every time we say yes to one thing, we're by default saying no to something else. So I think we got to just start saying no more so that we can say yes to those things that are important. And right now for many families across the U.S., making that happen with the kids at school is very important. But that used to be stressful for me too. I give an example. This is a parable. So a lot of the things that happen, this is a fiction story, right? So if you go through it, there are some things totally made up, but there's to get a point across. But there's a lot of stories that are real, but the names gets changed, right? And so a lot of the stories are told from characters. But there's a story about the bus coming around the corner to pick up the kids for school. And this is what used to happen to us. And the couldn't find the shoes. You know, the boys, I'm like, where's the shoes? How could we lose a pair of shoes? And you could hear the bus. And it was getting stress is building. And of course, it's my wife's fault. And she thinks it's my fault. And then and the kids, you know, everybody starts yelling. And the next thing you know, a pair of shoes show up. The kids are on the bus. She falls on the couch in exhaustion. And we're thinking, does it have to be this way? So this is the question, Kerry. This is the million-dollar question is ask yourself, when you want to get rid of stress, does it have to be this way?
Oh, that's good.
And the answer typically is no. So then the follow-up question is what needs to change for it to not be this way? And so that morning I asked, I said, does it have to be this way? Every single day we're looking for shoes. and enduring all this stress. And we said, no, what needs to change? Well, we need some system to organize our shoes. So I got a toy box, big wooden toy box, shoe bin, what we called it. And that was the go-to place for shoes. When the kids took the shoes off, they had to put them in the shoe bin. And it was right by the front door. So every morning after that, they go straight there, get their shoes. We weren't looking all over the house. It eliminated that whole stress trigger, Carrie.
That is good.
Significantly changed our life. But we had to ask ourselves two questions. Does it have to be this way? And what needs to happen for it to not be this way?
I mean, I know you're real humble about it, but that's kind of what has contributed to the success of Office Pride. You have to have systems. I mean, if you're cleaning 5,000 buildings a day, 130 some franchises, you have to have systems. Let's talk about that, Todd, just from a listener standpoint. What if someone has a small business or a small amount of influence at this point? Do they still need systems, even though they, quote, might think they're small at the point?
Yeah, I think anytime you can create a system that you can invest time in a system now that can save you time later, that's a good thing. And then it's going to enable you to scale your business bigger or be able to own a business that will give you the same result with less work. Does that make sense? So some people don't want to get bigger, and that's fine, but there may be a way to execute and get the same outcome easier over and over again. So I think small business owners probably stress more than big business owners.
Why is that?
Big business owners, and see, some of my team are watching this, but you know, we have a team of people who can handle stressful things for us, right? So for example, when I was small, I had to do everything myself. And there were some things I love doing. There are other things I hate doing. And the things I hated doing stressed me out. Or there was things I was good at, but there was things I wasn't good at. They stressed me out. So now that we're larger, there's people on our team who are exceptional at doing the things that I was bad at. And I don't even have to think about that. See, that's eliminated stress. But a small business owner has to do all these things, things they're good at, things they don't really enjoy doing. And so I actually believe the small business owners are positioned for more stress than the big business owners. And we coach our franchisees that things get easier with size.
Is that the target audience for the book, the small business owner, or is it for all people? Or, you know, talk a little bit about your target audience.
Well, my original target audience was myself, and then it became the franchise owners. And my view was, look, if we never sell a single book, if the franchisees read it and it helps them, it's all been worth it, right? So I'm good with that. But then I really felt like God was calling me to share it with as many people as I possibly can, which is a reason for all this relaunch, Carrie. Yeah. And the opportunity to expand it nationally and to find people who want to actually be a facilitator of a stress-less business owner workshop. Because I can't go around the country doing workshops, right? I really want to be able to just spend time with my team and my family here and our franchisees. But I can scale this by finding other people who have a heart for this message and want to do it. And then we can have coaches all over the place, and they can do this for free if they want to at their church, or they can charge whatever works, right? I mean, the goal here is the message. And if one person reads it and it keeps them out of that hospital emergency room and they get to, you know, live a little longer and see the grandkids, it's all been worth it, right?
Let's get into this vision. You have a vision for this book to go all over the world. And you just said, I want to hold it loosely and have people teach their churches, people teach their families and friends. I mean, that's when you and I met, there was no COVID. Yeah. You and I met, and now life looks pretty stress-free compared to what it is, but you literally have equipped people to handle this pandemic successfully.
Yeah. And we're, so there's all kinds of things, Carrie, I think the key is to be able to ask yourself good questions. Like I have worksheets. Like I'll see if this works. Okay, if I can. So emotion replacement worksheet, right? And so a stress less business owner, facilitator, or coach can go through these tools with people to help them. It could be there's three disciplines that they really need work. So the idea is to have a good tool that asks good questions. But the answers are usually in people's heads. Most of this is self-inflicted. You just got to think better about it, right?
So
I try to have like a worksheet for every discipline.
Okay.
And even I got one here about relationship investment worksheets, because there's one in there about investing loving relationships, right? Because that can reduce your stress. And how do you show gratitude to those people who encourage you? Or maybe how do you spend less time with those people that are always stressing you out? I mean, there's all kinds of intentional ways to look at this. And so my vision is to just get this in as many hands as possible in the message. And I expect to do that through others who share my passion and have a calling to do this. My goal would be to maybe pour into 100 facilitators around the country and let them run with it.
I love this. Kill stress, resurrect peace, joy, and self-control. The 10 guiding principles to bring joy and true success back to your business. So that assumes that we had joy in the beginning. And I think we do. Usually when we start something as a business owner, it is fun. It is exciting. But then it slowly fades. Why do you think it fades?
Well, that's good. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Just a good question. The joy, you're right. So nobody starts a business because they think, I'm so excited. I'm getting ready to start a business that's going to make me miserable and stress me out. So they do it because of passion and joy, and they're finally, pulling the trigger. So they do it for all the right reasons. But the thing is, there's I know you and I are both Christian believers, right? So I believe, when we have that strong faith in our life, there's joy, and we're supposed to demonstrate that to other people. So other people would want to know about the God we serve, right? And so, but the Bible's real clear. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to take away our joy. Mm. And man, If he can do that through business or bad thinking or anything else, he will. So we got the business takes away our joy because we quit focus on the reason we did the business in the first place, and we start focusing on the circumstances, right? Mm. And so we take our eye off our purpose, and we lose track of our vision. And the vision's what keeps us going. It's like an office pride. Our vision became our focus throughout COVID, right? Because we have a journey-focused vision of positive impact, perpetuating growth, eliminating vulnerabilities, and glorifying God. 8 words. But when COVID hit, our vision didn't change. Our vision became more important because our vision is more about the journey of how we do things along the way rather than where we end up. We have a journey-focused vision rather than a destination-focused vision. So if I can keep my eye on my vision, I keep my joy. But if I start dwelling on circumstances, all of a sudden I can become pretty miserable and stressed, right? And so it's like Peter, you talk about that one boat scene in the Bible, but the other one, Jesus is walking on water, and Peter got out of the boat. And when he had his eye on Jesus, he's the only other person to face the planet that ever walked on water, I think. All of a sudden, he felt like a cold wave hit him in the back, and he turns. Man, this I'm walking on water. This is deep. He started focusing on the circumstance.
Wow.
He sunk, right? But as long as he kept his eye on where he was heading, what his purpose was, he could do anything. So, I think we lose our joy when we take our eye off the vision. And we get caught up in the circumstance because, man, the world around us will throw us a whole lot of reasons to be happy.
I think the biggest thing I noticed about you when I met you was that word, joy. Some people, they kind of hide their faith, and other people, you just know it. You know it right away. I could tell that there's something different about you. What do you look for in the right fit franchisee? Is that the right term? What do you look for?
Well, our Office Pride franchisees, one, they're typically drawn to our culture. So they like the idea, the kind of that faith-based culture. They oftentimes are wanting to, you know, do something with purpose and meaning, and they know what they don't want anymore. Maybe they've been in the corporate world and they've always wanted to do their own business. They love being part of a culture. We have an incredible franchise community, and they talk to each other, help each other. We have a corporate staff that cares. I mean, it doesn't feel like work to us. And so for franchisees, we're looking for a can-do attitude. We're looking for somebody we want to do life with. I mean, wow. At the end of the day, that's what it is, because it's, you know, it's just short of like a marriage, right? So you're choosing to do life together because they're going to grow their business using our brand and our systems and our processes. And when they do that, we win, they win. So it's a win-win relationship. And we will look for people that like that. They want structure. They want processes. So if somebody comes and they've got 1,000 ideas on how to do it differently, they probably should start their own, right? But if they want to be part of a system, a brand, we look at them and we believe they'll represent us well. And they'll actually probably increase the value of our brand because they're good quality people. And when they get out there and they're wearing the Office Pride shirt or they're representing us in front of a customer, they're actually raising the value of the Office Pride brand, not decreasing it. So we look at somebody, we say, do we think this is a person that's going to help us as a brand be better? And do we have the system? Are they the type of person that we can help be successful? And if all those boxes get checked, then we're hoping we're entering into a relationship together. I've seen some of them on here. I saw Kim Burkhart, one of our new ones, and several others, Mark Wiltzer up in Evansville. So they're all over the place. And we've got some, Kerry, I think the folks that are attracted to us now, just amazing, the quality. So I usually have to pinch myself a little bit when we're all together in one big room to see what God's done. Because I remember when it was just me in a white van that I bought for $5,000. It took me 3 days to scrub somebody else's logo off the side of it. And I painted the Office Pride logo on it. Had to stop about every 30 minutes, put brake fluid in there because they had a leak. But that's why I used to go around cleaning buildings in myself. So I give God the credit for that, really. I mean, there's no other way to explain things like that. But also when tough things happen, I'm going to ask God for help. You know, I believe I'm a steward of this business. He owns it. So when things happen that should cause stress, I'm just going to like turn that over to him. It takes some of the pressure off of me. Do you ever do that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I love the fact that you didn't, you know, you're turning to God in all times. In fact, that's one of your disciplines was start the day with God in the morning. And you can tell it just oozes from you. So I just think this was an absolute blast. So Todd, thank you for being here today. Any final word that you want to say to the audience, your franchisees, anything that you want to give as a word of encouragement?
Well, I do appreciate your kind words, Kerry, and just having me on your Facebook show and your event. And you know, all the things that you were saying, I'm sitting there nodding. I mean, I give God the credit. I really can't do this. I don't know any big words. You know, I tell people my books are easy to read because I got a bunch of small words in there. So for the fact that even the thought of writing a book is amazing. So I give God the credit, but what if I just end with the shortcut? Like say like you don't have time to read a book and what is the shortcut to eliminating stress?
I don't know.
I'm having a stressful moment. I don't know where the book is. So what do I do? So if you got stress on you right now, the quickest way, the shortcut to get rid of stress is to look up and worship and to praise God. And when we start putting our eyes on God, we take our eyes off ourselves. And stress results when we're so focused on ourselves that we're starting to like dwell on some of the bad things, the things that cause us stress. So when we can take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on God, the quickest way to do that is just worship and praise God and show gratitude. God, just thank you for this. Thank you for this. You created the heavens and the earth, all these things, and just worship him. Stress will leave. In other words, I don't believe a complete heart of worship and a body full of stress can coexist. So if we stress, we're existing, we're focusing on ourselves. Worship, we're focused on God. And sometimes you can make that change in 10 seconds. I'm overloaded with stress. I'm going to flip the switch and just start praising God. That's your shortcut if you don't have time to read a book.
That's a fantastic. I mean, that can literally save a relationship. The things we do in moments of stress, whether we see it in movies or we see it in real life, I mean, it's amazing. You can ruin a whole reputation in a matter of seconds just because of stress. So this has been fantastic.
Yeah.
And we were honored to be your publisher. I mean, when you showed me this book, I said, man, we gotta do this. So I see big things for you. I know you want to train coaches and certify them and empower people around planet Earth. But I think the world would be a whole lot better if there'd be people who'd be less stressed. So yeah. Thank you. And thanks to all the people who jumped in, many of your people, Scott and others. So Todd, you have a fantastic day and blessings to you.
Hey, Kerry, thank you so much for having me and just for publishing this book and promoting it. And I really appreciate all you do. Very grateful. And thanks for having me.
Awesome. You guys know where to find it. Go to stresslessbusinessowner.com and it's on Amazon and it already has a ton of reviews. And go review it right now. Take care. We'll see you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.